Hey, gang. Welcome to National Bugle Radio. This is your show for December 22nd, 2017. This is your last show before Christmas. Christmas, we won't have a live show, but we'll have something good for you, I'm sure. And, RBN, I'm Patrick Slattery on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. And you can go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send us a nice Christmas present to keep us on the air, to keep us going, because you can handle the truth. Well, what is the truth? And this is what I want to get at today, and I will take calls. The number, let me look carefully, is 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. And like many of my listeners, I listen to Tucker Carlson's show. There's not a whole lot on the mainstream media that's worth listening to, especially in terms of news shows. You have to try to keep on top of the news. I look at a lot of news programs, and you know, not everything is a lie. Obviously, the vast majority of what they show is legitimate information. There's a question of how do they spin it, and there's also, for the discerning viewer, there is how do you read between the lines, what to listen for. Tucker Carlson's show is good because he's one of the few people, for instance, who is openly anti-immigration. That he ignores. Does he really break taboos? Well, not. He doesn't break the firmest, the most rigid taboos, but he does. He does break some less rigid taboos. You can be against immigration. It's not easy, but you can. Last night on his show, he had what was introduced as kind of a bombshell. You know, the latest statistics from the U.S. What would this be? Make sure I get it right. The U.S. Sentencing Commission. And the headline figure, and you had to listen to it carefully. The headline figure was 22% of federal murder convictions were illegal aliens. 22% of federal murder convictions were illegal aliens. Now, many, many people hearing that, federal, you know, then he moved on, federal murder, he said federal, 22% of federal murder convictions, such and such percent of, what would it be, money laundering convictions and drug convictions, and these were all federal. Well, federal is key because, you know, the thing is, they've been telling us how law-abiding and how virtuous the illegal aliens are, undocumented. They came here as an act of love and this and that. And his overarching message is absolutely correct. But we have to be careful when we're using data, and especially if we know we're right, we've got to use data that is right, because what we don't want to be is, rather than being attacked on our position, is to be attacked on our use of data. We don't want to be undermined by misrepresenting data, by cherry picking, things like that, because we don't need to. It's out there. It's just a matter of doing the work and presenting it properly. So here's the problem with this, and I don't know if I'm faulting Tucker Carlson. He's pretty smart, but here's the thing. So I've gone, dug into the report to try to find where he was getting this from, where in the report. And so I finally come to citizenship of offenders in each primary offense category. This is from the report for fiscal year 2016. This is deep in the U.S., what is it, the U.S. Sentencing Committee's, deep within that report, the U.S. Sentencing Commission. It's okay, Mr. T. It's all right. Don't get upset. So deep inside, let me get back to that page now, you find at the top row for these various categories of offenses or offenders, murder. Okay. Now it's broken down by citizen versus non-U.S. citizen. Non-U.S. citizen doesn't strictly mean illegal alien. You can be a legal alien. And it was when Tucker Carlson was talking about illegal aliens in his introduction. If you go back and listen to his exact words, I don't think he said the word illegal alien when he was saying the 22%. But that's not even the main thing. The main thing is, okay, so you have, according to this data, broken down into those two subcategories of U.S. citizen and non-U.S. citizen. Yes, 22.6% of murder convictions were non-U.S. citizen, and this is and 77.4% U.S. citizen. But remember, this is federal murder convictions. How many federal murder convictions were there in 2016? There were 84 federal murder convictions. Well, we know there was a lot more murders than that. But you see, most murders are handled at the state level. They're not federal offenses for the most part. They're not federal offenses. So, is this a representative, a random sampling? Are federal murder convictions a random sampling of overall murders? There's no reason to suspect that they would be. Why are they falling into federal courts? I don't know. But there's no reason to suspect that this... I mean, how many murders are committed in the United States each year? It's I know it's over 10,000. I think when murders were really spiking in the 1980s, we were talking about like 30 or 40,000 per year. It's probably less than that now. But 84 represents a fraction of 1% of all murders, and there's no reason to suspect that it is a representative sample of overall murders. So here's the thing: Tucker Carlson, he didn't lie. He did say that this was federal murder convictions, and it's true. It's 22%, but it's very misleading. We don't need to be misleading. We don't need to be misleading. I was trying to find out, okay, well, what would be the percentage of murders committed or overall murder convictions, not just at the federal level, but at the state level, by illegal aliens. I've been trying to do this for the past hour or two. Excuse me, my voice is not working well. And, it's hard to get to pinpoint things like that, but you can... there is a variety of data that is out there. So, for instance, let me get to here. We had, there's data on the estimated number of criminal alien arrest offenses by type and offense. And this is in a government accounting office report from 2011. And it points to, for homicide, 25,000. Well, 25,000 over what years? Well, this was over many, many, many years, although it says 90% of the offenses took place in the past 15 years. The previous 15 years. So if you were to do the math there, you're talking about that would indicate 1,500 homicides. So what percentage is that? There's... I don't know what the overall number of murders were in 2011, 2000 or 2005. But no matter what, it's, if you're saying that there's 11 million illegal aliens in the United States, 11 million would make up about, you know, a little more than 3% of the population. My ballpark estimates for these homicides would be that, you know, 1,500 homicides would probably represent 5 to 10% of homicides, overall homicides. So you'd still have representation. It would still mean that, you know, maybe illegal aliens were twice as likely to commit murders as non-illegal aliens. You see, the thing, the data's out there, but the problem I have is if Tucker Carlson makes this case and his listeners start saying, oh, look, 22% of all murders in the United States are committed by illegal aliens. Let's just say maybe it's true. Maybe it is something on that order. Maybe it's, you know, let's say it's 25%, or let's just say it's 18%, but let's say it's more or less true. But what he is saying is, if it's only based on a sample of 84 convictions, and it's, the data doesn't support, the data that he was presenting doesn't support the conclusion that his listeners were gaining from it. And this is a problem, because then, you know, you have people, secondary people, who are making this argument, so they're quoting Tucker Carlson, and then somebody comes up and can shoot it down. And in fact, somebody may very well shoot down Tucker Carlson. He's always inviting people on, and they could make this point. The underlying premise that Tucker Carlson has, that illegal aliens are committing more crime, is, I'm sure it's supported by the data. I mean, the data that I'm just looking at today tends to support it. It's, the thing is, it's not, these reports are not designed to make the point that Tucker Carlson's trying to make. And so you have to, you know, you have to glean through it. For instance, I was saying it doesn't necessarily separate illegal aliens from legal aliens, or, you know, it's not looking at one specific area. That was Mr. T. I honor your service, Mr. T, in keeping my family safe. Well, so this is a problem. Now, I'm in the past 2 hours that I've been looking at this, I haven't been able to come up with the silver bullet data myself. You know, it actually takes a little bit of research. So the thing is, Tucker Carlson's got a whole staff of people. He's got a whole staff of people, and they should do better than this. They really should. But because his underlying point is a valid one. It's a true one. But to come out with the data, you know, this claim 22%, what he said was true, but the conclusion that his listeners are getting, even intelligent listeners, the conclusion that they're reaching is 22% of murders in America are committed by illegal aliens. And that's not what the report says. It says 22% of the people convicted for in federal courts on, you know, federal murder convictions, 22% of federal murder convictions were illegal aliens. But the thing is, 22% of federal murder convictions, the federal murder convictions are like maybe 1/3% of overall murder convictions. So you're really not saying much. That's misleading. We don't need to mislead people, because we're right. We don't need to mislead people. But, you know, this is a problem that we have to be careful with our data. I know Huffington, what was it, the Huffington Post? No, Mother Jones. Mother Jones had come out with an article, again, from maybe 2010 or so, and the article was actually trying to prove that blacks were more likely than whites to be shot by to be shot by police. And they had this long article, a lot of data in it. And some of the data was from New York City, from this New York City crime report. I think the year was 2010. And, you know, Dr. Duke and I were looking at it and noticed that, you know something? Actually, this, in the data that they were presenting, they hadn't even read it very carefully, because it actually showed that year, the year of the report that they were quoting from, and that year of the report they were quoting from, there were more whites were shot by New York City police officers than blacks. More whites were shot. You know, and this is something that we read on our show. And then I got contacted by somebody who was saying, look, you know, it doesn't mean anything to say, 55% of police shootings in 2010, police killings of suspects, of criminal suspects in New York City were white, because there was only 9 people who were killed, you know, and I think 5 were white and 3 were black and 1 was something else. And, you know, that's true. And that wasn't really the point, certainly not the point I was trying to make. But the thing is, we didn't cherry pick that data. That was sloppy reporting by Mother Jones, trying to prove. See, what we were saying is Mother Jones was trying to prove that that blacks were more likely to get shot by police than whites, and the report that they used to as backing for that claim, actually for that particular year, showed the opposite. It showed the opposite. And that's what we were pointing out. We weren't trying to say that 55% of police shootings of suspects are white, you know, across the country over years. But it was just that we were using the data that showing that the data that they were trying to use to make their argument doesn't even make their argument, let alone being cherry picked. I went back and I looked at New York City reports from other years, and you know, if you looked from other years, they could have, if they wanted to cherry pick, and if they hadn't been so lazy, they could have picked 2009 or 2008, which would have showed, you know, out of half a dozen or a dozen people that were shot, there would have been more black in most other years. Why? Because blacks commit vastly more crime. So now the message that we have, that we have emphasized over and over again, is that among criminal suspects, whites are much more likely to be shot. They are significantly more likely to be shot. White criminal suspects are more likely to be shot than black criminal suspects. Now, the fact of the matter is there are a lot more black criminal suspects, right? And so because there's so many more black criminal suspects, in absolute numbers, there are more blacks who are being shot, in New York at least. You know, across the country it may not be so, but certainly in New York, there's so many more black criminal suspects than whites. We have to be careful, A, that what we're saying is true, and B, that it's meaningful. It's meaningful. So it's true what Tucker Carlson said. It's true. It's true that there were 22% of federal murder convictions in 2016 were illegal aliens. It's not particularly meaningful if you're talking about overall murder in this country. In the discussion of overall murder in this country, it's not important. It's not particularly meaningful because it's only looking at this tiny fraction of murders that happen. Now, if you do the work, do the research, you could find meaningful numbers making the same point. That's what I'm trying to get at. Okay, it is 20 minutes after the hour. I think we might be coming up on the break. But this goes to other data that we use. And when we Okay, when we come back from the break, I'm going to be going on to make the same points about other issues. So we'll see you at the other side of the break.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate...
got to get some new music. So today I'm talking about data. I'm talking about how it's used. We do face a disadvantage. We face a disadvantage because who generates data? Who generates data? Who are considered reputable sources of data? So you've got the government, of course. Not everybody trusts the government, but government data is considered official data, right? You've got researchers in elite educational institutions. So if something comes out from Harvard University, that's considered, you know, reputable. A lot of think tanks, Rand Corporation, they're... Yeah, it's probably a tier below the universities. The universities are probably a tier below the government. But, you know, these are considered reputable sources of data. And the problem we have, you look at the federal bureaucracy, you could say it's been under enemy control. I mean, the federal bureaucracy, most of the people who work in the bureaucracy are decent, well-meaning people, but it's been under political control. You know, the federal government, federal bureaucracy is under political control. Every department, every agency is headed by a political appointee, somebody who's appointed by the president. Typically appointed by the president. There might be, in some cases, some other type of input into it, but typically appointed by the president. And then, you know, in your departments, it's not just the secretary, but the undersecretaries, the deputy secretaries, the assistant secretaries. These are political appointments, and they do have an impact on the permanent bureaucracy. And in the permanent bureaucracy, you've had, you know, these taboos. You have these preferences, taboos, biases that get built into it. So it's really difficult. For instance, the census data won't report on how many Jews we have. You know, that we have to look for other sources. Well, I think they used to. I think they used to take census data on religious affiliation. Being Jewish used to be a category. It's not. It's not a category now. And we have to rely on other sources. Why? Because there are powerful forces that want to obfuscate who's Jewish, where are the Jews, this is something that they want to obfuscate. And so when our researchers, we don't get paid government salaries, we don't get paid salaries from educational institutions, for the most part. Yeah, Kevin McDonald was able to do his research while receiving a California State University salary, but that was only because he had worked there and built up his career long enough to get tenure before he started doing this research. Our think tanks, Richard Spencer has a National Policy Institute, which sounds like a think tank, but they're not able to do a whole lot of research. They don't have much of a budget and aren't doing a whole lot of primary research. There's a limit to what they can do, set up conferences and things like that, have some media. But they can't stand toe to toe with the Pew Foundation or the Rand Corporation or these other extremely well-funded think tanks. These think tanks typically get huge amounts of money from foundations that are left by set up by very, very rich people, the Rockefellers, who have their own agenda, and many of them also have their own tribal affiliations, this Jewish tribal affiliation. So it's tough. We don't have a professional class of researchers. So we have people like myself who can do it on our spare time, but we're still having to, devote time to earning a living and devoting time to this type of activity. And, this is important. The programs that we do are very, very important, but that takes time. Before I was doing this, I was doing research. I was doing some research for Dr. Duke and for Kevin McDonald. But to be involved in these radio shows takes away time that I could otherwise be doing research. So it's very, very difficult. So we have this major obstacle. You'll hear Dr. Duke and I talk a lot, and Kevin McDonald talk a lot about Harvard University or other elite institutions and the ethnic cleansing of white people at those schools. And I had written a report on it, probably 2012, using 2010 data from admissions from the Harvard Provost Office, which would be the official data for Harvard University. And it is broken down by race. I'm going to talk a little bit about that on the other side of this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited. So take a breath, head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back to the show. It's Patrick Slattery on National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. So, today I'm talking about data. I was just before the break talking about Harvard University, and 5 years ago or so, I wrote a research paper on Harvard University. Where I used data from three data sets. I used, for the admissions to Harvard University, I used the racial breakdown, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, other, and then, of course, there was mixed. There was non-U.S., you know, non-citizen. I used the Harvard Provost Office. They had data broken down like that, but they didn't have Jewish. And so for Jewish, I used the Hillel, the Harvard Hillel Association. That Hillel is a Jewish Students Association. They're active all over the country, and they have a website, and their website, which is basically aimed at Jews, so that Jews can go to the Hillel website, and if they're thinking of going to this college or that college, they can see all the resources and all of the attributes that would be of interest to a ethnocentric Jewish student, because the Jewish student wants to know, what is the Jewish life like at Harvard? That's the term they use, the Jewish life. So does it have a program for a birthright program that will take kids to Israel? Do they have Jewish studies programs? How many Jews are there? That's what they want to know. How many Jews are there? How many fellow Jews? And the data is usually thought to be pretty reliable. And you can look at it from college to college. You can look at it from year to year. And it seems to be pretty consistent. I haven't heard any objections to Hillel being wildly inaccurate. In many cases, they're estimates, but it's, Hillel, the Jews, and they're doing their estimate to the best of their ability. So it's probably reasonably accurate. So using Hallel data, you could look at the white category from Harvard University Provost Office, and then and then you could use Hallel's data for Jews, and then you could subtract out to get the non-Jewish whites. And that's how we did it. That's how I did it. And then I also used the U.S. Census data to see what are the proportions of the various categories, white, black, and what have you. I guess I had to use a fourth data set to get the and I can't remember where it came from off the top of my head, but the Jewish population of the United States and its breakdown by age. So then, using the census data and looking at the category, the age bracket 18 to 22, you could say, okay, what percentage of whites were at Harvard, or whites were at Ivy League schools, what percentage of blacks, what percentage of Hispanics, how do they compare with each other, what percentage of Jews, and, just using that, not using any indicator of ability, of academic ability, but just using that, was able to see that Jews were more than 40 times, a Jewish college-age individual was more than 40 times as likely to be at Harvard than a non-Jewish white. Now, Ron Unz did a similar study, although he had the time. He's a very wealthy individual. He had the time to devote to, and the resources, probably had other people working for him too, to gathering a lot of data that would be reflective of ability, of merit. Things like National Merit Scholarship semifinalist data. And he put a lot of effort into breaking that down and used techniques, and I think they're very defensible techniques, very reliable techniques to say, how many of these people are Jewish, how many of them are Korean, how many of them are this or that. And so he went further and found that based on ability, that still Jews were 14 times, a Jewish young person of the same ability as a non-Jewish white young person was 14 times as likely to be in Harvard, and pretty much the same for other Ivy League schools. So, and I think that's very well established. Now, just within the past couple of weeks, Harvard came out with its data on the class it just admitted, which would be the class of 2021, I believe. Its new freshman, its incoming freshman class, and they had all-time highs for a lot of minority categories. So the data I used, Asians were 16% of the incoming class in 2016, and now they're up to like 22%, big increase. Blacks had been about 7% on the data I had before. Now they're over 14%, and you had a rise of Hispanics too. Well, so then I thought, okay, so if you get 6% extra, 6% extra for Asians and 6% extra for blacks and maybe it was 4% extra for Hispanics, where is this all coming from, right? Whose group is it coming from? So I went to the Hallel webpage for Harvard. And, lo and behold, whereas Hallel had always, for years and years and years and years, showed that Harvard, and here they're not just looking at one class year, they're looking at the all 4 years of undergraduate, but it had always been right around 25%. All of a sudden, it was at 13%. And it's like, really? Really? Did Jews actually give up suddenly the bulk of their seats? Because you look like 2 years earlier and it was 25%. And because Hallel is not using just the incoming freshman year's numbers, but all of the, all 4 years of undergraduate, what it would mean would be that if to take those numbers at face value would mean that Harvard stopped admitting Jews. In fact, that they were kicking out Jews in order to make room for all of these new blacks and Asians and Hispanics. Well, we know that didn't happen. There would be an uproar if it happened. Well, right next to the undergraduate data is the graduate data. And you look at the graduate data, which had also always been hovering around 25%. And suddenly it was at 67%. So, you know, I know there's something wrong there. I don't know exactly what it was. You know, looking a little bit more, so, I go back to the same webpage, the Hillel webpage for Harvard, on the Internet Archive, the archive.org. They have, they capture these pages and archive them periodically, every few months. And I could go back and I could see how the numbers had fluctuated greatly. They had been steady for years, and then they fluctuate greatly up and down and all around, and they got to this. But when I looked at it more carefully, I was saying the actual number of Jews that they were claiming as undergraduates, the actual number of Jews they were claiming as graduates, hadn't changed. But the denominator, the number of all graduates or all undergraduates at Harvard, were fluctuating greatly. So there was something weird there. Now, the thing to do is not to say that, according to Hillel, 67% of graduate students at Harvard are Jews. That's really not the thing to do. I think that data was unreliable. And nor can you say, according to Hillel, Harvard stopped admitting Jews. That also didn't happen. Those are things that didn't happen. Just exactly what's going on with Hillel's data there, which, like I say, has always been considered pretty reliable. And if it wasn't reliable, you'd have a lot of Jewish students who would be angry, saying, "Hey, I thought I was coming to this school because it was going to have this Jewish life, and there aren't any Jews here. What's up with that?" So they have a reason to try to be reasonably accurate. But at any rate, you have to be careful with data. And just because something all of a sudden looks like it's going to help you make the case that you've been wanting to make, you've got to make sure it's good data. Here's the thing. I'm confident, and I think my listeners are confident, RBN listeners are confident, that at the end of the day, we have the truth on our side. You can handle the truth. That's RBN's slogan. So we are confident that we're right on our major points. So we want to build an argument. We want to build a narrative. We want to build an argument. Now, there's a natural tendency. You want to make it airtight. Well, here's the thing. If in order to make it airtight, if you got a little hole here, a little hole there, you want to fill it in, don't fill it in with BS. Because that attracts flies. You don't want to do that. You're much better off with having some good points that you're sure of, that you can point to hard, cold evidence that nobody can deny, even if you're leaving some holes. And then with the holes, you could say, I'm confident that, given the ability to do the research, I'd find similar results. You're better off saying something like that. Then, yeah, I've got holes here, but I'm still confident in my overall conclusion. That's better than using something like, Tucker Carlson's 22%. Well, it's only based on, 19 murders. There was only 19 murder convictions, federal murder convictions of illegal aliens in 2016. And there was maybe 19,000 murder convictions in 2019. So you're talking about 0.1%. You're not proving anything there. The 22% of federal murder convictions sounds impressive, but when you realize that it's not the federal government that prosecutes the vast majority of murders, and you're actually only looking at a tiny, tiny sampling and not necessarily a representative sampling, that's not what we need to do, because then you attract flies, and then the flies concentrate on the little bit of BS and not the rest of everything else, not the main points. that's leaving yourself vulnerable. So we don't want to do that. So that is my main point. So we have to be careful about our use of data. Is this interesting to you all? I don't know if it's interesting, but it's really, really important. We have, you know, the other thing we can do where we don't have data, because the data can be hard. You know, when you're trying to make a case based strictly on data for these huge events, for these huge trends in society, you know, you're trying to get data on all of the murders, of all of the crime. That takes a lot of doing. But we also have all these case studies. We have all these cases, and the cases can actually be much more compelling. And this is something that Colin Flaherty on his YouTube channel, he has the, Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. He has the YouTube channel about black criminality. And he's always saying, I don't do the numbers. He makes fun of the numbers. And he's got reason. Now, there are a lot of good reasons to make statistical data-based arguments, because people, especially at high levels, government levels, academics, there is a lot of preference for this kind of research. It's based on numbers and not based on cases. But when you're talking to the normie out there, the regular people, cases can be much more compelling, because, you know, there's a face there. Stalin is credited with saying, one death is a tragedy, a million deaths is a statistic. And there's something to it. And of course, also Colin Flaherty talks about how the numbers can be manipulated. You know, if you're talking about, he says people call him up and say, look, the numbers for crime have gone down, convictions have gone down, arrests have gone down. And then he says, look, you can just have a policy of, you can't arrest your way out of this problem. You stop policing certain areas. Arrests go down. Does that mean crime went down? No. Convictions went down. Well, if you're having courts, the Bronx juries, where blacks refused to convict other blacks, so convictions go down, the numbers go down. Did that mean crime went down? No, it doesn't. So there is that. We had this case of the illegal alien, somebody who had been deported over and over and over again, somebody who had been convicted of manufacturing and distributing heroin, somebody who never should have been here, shoot a girl dead. And then the defense has this cockamamie story. Well, first he said he was shooting at sea lions. And then the defense comes up with, well, no, he wasn't really shooting at sea lions. He didn't even know he had a gun. He just found it, found this package wrapped in a T-shirt, picked it up, and boom, it went off. And he didn't even know he had the gun. Completely cockamamie story. A gun that had been stolen out of a federal, I guess, what was it, a Bureau of Land Management person's car? Some federal agent's car the gun had been stolen out of. Completely cockamamie. Why was he let off? Because Gonzalez? Mark Gonzalez or Mike Gonzalez? He was Ralph Nader's running mate in 2008. Did he make such a good case, such a compelling case? It was probably that you had a lot of Mexican Americans on the jury, and that President Trump had made this into such a case for, a cause celebre for building the wall. And probably you had a lot of Hispanics on the jury saying, look, if we convict this man, it's going to bolster the case for a wall. And we don't want to bolster the case for the wall, so we're going to let this guy walk. It's an outrage. It's a complete outrage. So you have real things like that, and it's not based on the data. But it's very compelling. And you know something, with like Colin Flaherty's YouTube channel, where he does not make the case for the numbers, he just has an incessant volume of YouTubes. Every day he's putting up 3 YouTube videos that are making his case. They're not making the case with numbers. It's just like, okay, I mean, I'm showing you all of these instances of black criminality, black mob violence, I'm showing you the videos day after day after day that are making my case. Where are the videos making your case? Where are they? Where are all of those videos out there of whites rioting? Okay, we'll be back after the break.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back. And so, yeah, that the keep the truth flowing. This is what we're trying to do here. This is about truth. It's because we feel we have the truth on our side. And if we feel we have the truth on our side, we have to be very careful. We don't want to be accused of cherry picking. We don't want to be confused of misleading data. We want to be. So it becomes a matter of epistemology, which is how do we know what we know, of heuristics. How do we research things? How do we discover things? It's rhetoric. How do we frame things? How do we frame a narrative? And we want to be careful. We don't want to be misleading. We don't want to be cherry picking. We don't want to be using BS. BS. BS was defined by one Princeton professor. I think he was a professor of rhetoric or an English professor. But to him, it was the making of arguments or the use of making backing for your argument without any concern to whether the backing is true or not. So it's not a lie. It wasn't a lie. It was just the disregard for whether what you were saying was meaningful, just that it seems to make your point. So if it seems to make your point, you use it. And unfortunately, what Tucker Carlson was doing last night was in that realm. He was using data. The data was technically true. And the overriding point he was trying to make was true, but it still bordered on this BS because the data he was using was not very meaningful in relation to the point he was trying to make. That's the thing. It wasn't very meaningful because it was only looking at a tiny, tiny fraction of overall murders. His listeners were hearing it as if it was the numbers for all murders, and it wasn't. So we have to be careful. We can make our point. We do have the truth on our side. We don't want to be engaged in undermining ourselves by doing anything that would appear to be misleading, that would appear to be cherry-picking. It's not making our case. It's important. We're going into 2018. We have massive problems, and we have massive momentum on our side. 2017, I think, was a very good year for us. There was, you know, you look at Charlottesville. Was that a good thing for us or not? It can be discussed. Was it good or not? I have the feeling it is going to be good in the end because so many people are already, I mean, people are going to get released for the most part. There are some people like shooting a warning shot into the ground. This person, like, in common sense, it seemed like a reasonable thing to do as a point of law. He's probably going to be convicted of a crime and stay in jail for a while. But for the most part, they were the ones using the BS. I mean, this whole business about Heather Heyer having been run down by James Field's automobile, that's not true. The video evidence shows that the car did not strike her. The mother claimed on NBC News that her daughter died quickly of a heart attack. She died on the scene of a heart attack, not of trauma, not of being struck. So many things. So much of their narrative. And we do have the truth on our side, and we have to not try to find the easy way. We have to find the strong way, the good way, the true way forward. And that's what we're going to be doing here at National Bugle Radio and at RBN. So we will be back next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.